meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
It's not what you eat that defiles you, it's what comes from within you. It's a scripture that wasn't completely complete, and didn't research that for a long time, but it's not what you eat that the last caller. I hope you've been listening to the first hour. A gentleman called up, and very nice gentleman. He said a voice said to him that he should eat, you know, not animals, but I guess fruit from the trees, which is natural enough, of course. But that luxury doesn't belong to the whole human race. And it's impossible for most human people in the human race to be able to have the luxury of that. They can barely scrounge, you know, little pieces, tidbits off the earth. So, but the question was interesting in the last hour with David from Boston, 800-866-8883, and I agree that it's good to eat from the trees of paradise, and we have such luxury here in America. But he said a voice. He's meditating, obviously, and a voice said to him, he should eat no animals. But the point, I don't see if I can make this point in just short time, because we're going to go to our first caller in just a minute. But a lot of people go to the health food store and eat health foods, but that could be an addiction. It means that they think that deep down in their hearts that eating the forbidden fruit caused the sin. It actually is. It could have been anything that God said not to do, and you do it, and that would be your addiction, basically. But what you must be very careful when you go to the health food store, since the subject came up just a little while ago, is not to eat with the idea that if you eat the right food, that you'd become a right person. It's better that you eat the right food, no doubt about it. But the danger is the idea that if you eat the right food, you may become a more perfect person and live forever. I say you can be in a dungeon and eat whatever they give you, junk, and survive on it and become a better person than the person who goes into the health food store and eats all the good food thinking that it's making him gooder. Pardon the way I said it. So the voice that said to him, you should eat no animals, that is the danger when you hear a voice. But if you intuitively know this, if you intuitively go to the health food store because it's sensible to eat good food, but not to save you, good food, if food could cause you to sin, see, then the food becomes a bad, it's the way it enters you. But it's not just food that can do that, it could be money. See, it could be almost anything that will obligate you to take what you shouldn't and pull you in, seduce you with it, almost anything. But food has a strong power in itself, and sex too, does too. But let me keep it to food just for a little second, because some of you may have listened to the show and I didn't finish all the concepts that cloud your reasoning. And so watch for the voice. Watch for the authoritarian voice in people. And don't be, I'm going to teach you to overcome the authoritarian voice that puts fear into you. And also the voices that try to make you feel better. Like gymnastics and training. You don't need all those people. What you need is common sense in everything you do. That's all. You'll find paradise lost. If you can do that, I will explain.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, good evening again. This is the second hour. 800-866-8883. Call me 6 to 8. And the last hour, you can't call me because I put a pest off and go to bed. To be honest. And to be transparent, unlike your president, of course. But I have a caller, and I like callers. I like people who are brave enough to call me up and say, what can I do about my life? I drink, I smoke, whatever it is. I have anxiety, I have cancer. I could give answers to that, but the tendency is for you not to want to hit me, because you know I'm going to unravel you and get inside you and show you who you are, and you spend your whole life covering that up. So it's not that easy for you to be so open to me. But if you were, it could be better overnight. Okay, but let me first speak to Pat. Hello, Pat.
Yes, good evening.
How are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm always intrigued to listen to you. I have a difficult time here in Michigan ever getting any more because of the radio stations. But for when I come home from Vietnam and several years after that, I stumble upon you. What Mr. Tappan said was true.
Oh, yeah. There you go back to Mr. Tappan, don't you? And my friend.
Yes.
He passed away.
Your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties can be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part.
Isn't that nice? I think we should put that one. We should put that person on again. He's dead and gone, but he still have his voice.
Yes, I acknowledge that.
And he's a professor. He's a professor in a very famous university. He helped me edit one of my books.
Yes, I acknowledge that.
He was a good man.
For years, that's been true in my life through being still each day.
Yes.
But the last several years of my life, those heartaches, fears, anxieties have came back again, Mr. Masters.
Oh, dear.
And
sir.
I still
Why haven't
quietly,
you called me before? Why haven't you called me?
I haven't felt that I gave the meditation more time.
No. The meditation, no, it's not that. Something went wrong. And if I can put my finger on it, and I'm going to be searching as you speak. So
yes,
how long ago did the negative return?
About 2 years ago.
All right. What happened? What happened around that time?
I began to live by myself. And,
you were married?
Yes, about 12 years ago. But I had my children to take care of and grow them up, and the last one left a couple years ago.
Okay.
And so it's when they left, it was good and bad. The good part.
They were free. That's good. But you didn't have them. you didn't have the gratification of being dad.
Yes, and there's something else to it.
The good
part is that there's something wrong, and I have a clean life. I'm not bragging, but I don't have, over the years, the fantasy life, and that, thank you, Christ, has faded away.
I'm listening very aptly.
And,
keep going.
And the Mass on Sunday is one of the highlights of my life, to go kneel at the feet of Christ.
Oh, hold.
And so,
hold. Whoa. were you surprised by what I just said?
No.
That is the worst thing you could do. You should not worship idols. You are sitting at an idol of a Jesus on a cross, and you kneel before that idol? Are you kidding?
When I do that, it reminds me of the price he paid for me.
No, you don't need to be reminded by a statue. Are you becoming addicted to a statue, and you're violating that law? That's what's wrong with religion. It takes you away from the spirit of that statue. You're the spirit of that statue is within you always. You don't need any more than that. You need to leave all that behind. That's wrong.
Well, I sat quietly each morning and each evening.
But you see, you're giving me a clue. I'm giving you a clue. Don't do that. Don't do that anymore.
All right. Very good.
You understand by worshiping statues? You were worshiping a statue. There should not be a statue in there of Jesus. That's going to scare all Catholics. I love the Catholics. They're sweet people. And I like Catholicism so much in its purest, because it's so pure. But the trouble is, it can also be impure with all the rituals and things. But one of the big rituals, one of the biggest dangers of all, is the statue, worshipping idols. You shall not make any graven image, nor bow down, or etc., etc. That's the first, second or third commandment. You shall have no other gods before me.
That's interesting.
You shall not make any images. See? And that's what Christianity does. It makes images.
But you know, Roy, my life has changed over the years.
I know, you're a sweet, good man. I can hear where you're coming from.
I thank God so much each day that I'm not caught up in my mind like I used to be.
No, but you're caught. No, you are caught up in the comfort of the statue. That is dangerous. That is where you're going downhill. Honest.
I'll look at that.
Please look at it.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what. Stay away from that for a while. And you will see, you may have anxiety that will appear. But watch the anxiety and you'll realize I'm right. Oh, the anxiety.
Right, I'll try that. Yeah. But is there anything wrong, you think, with me going to Mass and hearing the Mass?
I do not think there's anything wrong for you to listen, go to Mass and listen to see what you can perceive that you haven't seen before. Now, I shall tell you my experience. My opinion is that everything I need to know comes through me. And that's it. In other words, I only trust the Spirit. I know there's a God. I know He's magic. I know He's everywhere in the universe. And He can find me just like when you have an iPhone, they can find you anywhere in the world, right on the money. Okay? I know that as well as I can be. But I've also discovered that when I, without myself knowing, I began to love Him who created me. I couldn't see Him. I couldn't feel Him. But what He did is took... Because I didn't didn't do bad things, and when I do the stupid thing, I saw it. And the light in such hide me. The magic of this is that when I made mistakes, which I have made in my life, not terribly serious, but enough to get, see, what am I doing this for? What am I doing that for? I don't know what I'm doing it for, but before you know it, I put it down, and then I really, all of a sudden, I don't need it anymore. And that's, but something inside me is causing me to see this. And it's so subtle, but the question I ask myself has been given to me. I didn't, see, if a person is totally caught up in drugs, he doesn't think like that. All he knows is a feeling to absorb whatever makes him feel better. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying about the idols. You've got to be careful of those idols. The biggest mistake the Catholics make is those freaking idols.
Okay.
They're not holy. There's nothing holy about that image. And there's nothing holy about the creatures that have on those churches with all those faces. You shall not make any graven image, neither shall you bow down and worship it. And the worst thing you can do is make an image of Jesus and bow down and worship it.
I didn't look at it like that, Roy, but I see where you're coming from.
Thank you, my friend.
I'll just say this in parting, Roy. When I came home from Vietnam several years after I came home, if I wouldn't have ran into you on the radio, I wouldn't be alive tonight.
I believe that.
So God bless you, and you've always showed me God's mercy and your own mercy through the years that I've called you, and I mean it from the depths of my heart.
I know
that, my
friend.
I love you and your family, and again, I wouldn't have ever been able to be alive tonight if it wouldn't have been for you.
I tell you what I'd like. I tell you what I'd like. If there's time enough before the end of America, that I should have a seminar at the ranch, I want you to be my guest. And if I have I'm now completely whole. I have nothing to hold me back to go to lecture and travel. I'm a completely whole person. There's nothing wrong with me, thank God. Nothing.
Amen.
The last thing disappeared. The last problem that I had disappeared completely. I had an operation, but it was four operations before that got me worse and worse. And somehow this one, well, it was just I can tell you very simply, as an old person and being roughed around a lot and not always having the best things to eat, I had a bladder stone that was blocking. And so therefore I couldn't go anywhere. So all you had to do is take it out and I'm free.
Wow.
So that's where medicine does come in for meaning. I wasn't diseased. I just had that because I'm old. I'm not
Thank
old
you
anymore.
For helping me,
right? Thank you. Listen, so therefore, whatever it is, and you hear me saying I'm going to be a seminar, I don't want you to pay anything. If you're going to come to my ranch, I don't want you to pay anything. I just want to put my arms around you. If you don't mind me saying it that way.
Good night.
Good night, my friend. God bless you. John in Kentucky. Hello, John. Is John there, David?
Hello?
John, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I don't hear me?
I can hear you fine, yes.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I think I need to come out here for a weekend or something because I've got a long... I could talk to you for hours about the crap depression's put me through since I was 27 years old. I'm 64 years old. I've been trying to beat it. I talked to you a couple times on the radio. And I thought that you got sort of angry at me because you said that one of the purpose of the meditation was not to heal me, but to bring me to God. I understand that, but
yes,
I thought that helped out with depression and anxiety and things like that also.
It does, but the only way you have anxiety, the reason why you have anxiety, because you've got the wrong God. You got pleasure. You got pleasure. You got anger. You got frustration.
Yep.
See?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you got other people controlling you, and rising to the occasion of your need to be loved.
Yes.
Yeah, see, so I covered the whole waterfront in a few words.
Sorry,
I'm
sorry.
Let's go ahead.
I never got married. had a very devastating relationship with the Postal Service when I was like 20 years old, 19 years old.
Yes.
All kinds of, I just...
How old are you now, 60? Yeah, hold on, don't go away. I'll talk to him. 800-866-8883. Call me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 in the evening. The last hour is usually a best of. At 9 to 11, you can call my office and somebody is going to be there. 800-877-3227. There's somebody there waiting for you now if you want to call. Oh, hello, John. Are you still there, Albin?
Yes, sir.
So you're depressed right now, right?
Well, yeah, I'm taking medication, and actually it's passed on from my other side of the family.
Yes, but so you see, you know what the word depressed? Can you just think of the word depressed? You mean you've depressed, you're pressing down on something, pushing down something you need to see, and you don't want to see it. That is depression.
Oh.
That's okay. as close as I can get to it.
Okay.
So now, if you could learn to be cool, if you could learn to deal with the imperfect people perfectly, you'll never be depressed. Because the imperfect person will get inside you and make you more imperfect than they are.
I understand that. I think so.
Now, I'm going to give you a little, if you just listen quietly to what I'm about to say, may I just speak to you quietly just for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So, human beings, I hope you agree, are made in the image of God. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes.
Okay. And, of course, women are made in the image of God in that sense.
Mm-hmm. See?
So hating God is what the devil wants, wanting to you to hate God. But how does this happen? Let me show you. So the person that irritates you has something in him or her that they do not know they have. And so let us say that this person does not know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, kind of thing. And they don't see how rotten they are. They are getting a thrill out of upsetting you for some reason. See that? And so if you oblige that, you're going to embolden them because they succeed in getting into you. Now, I want to say it again differently. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with respect to the fact that man is made in the image, the dark side of that person, the spirit that's trying to get, that's got him and now wants to get into you, and of course you will do it to others and you get into them, and that's the whole country falls apart that way.
Yeah.
Doing unto others what was done unto you. But let me go back to this one so I can make sure I don't sidestep it. So the dark side in that person that's given that person, that's taken that person's innocence away and put themselves in there, sitting unholy in the place of the holy, kind of thing, if I use an expression. So the reason why the spirit does that is to make you hate the person. So it's not the person that's done it to you. When Jesus says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, you need to take that seriously, because he didn't have a chance to, at that where he's on the cross, to give you any more details. I'm not on the cross yet, so I can give you more details. The dark side of the force in that person is trying to get you to hate the physical form, which is an image of God. The minute you start to hate the image of God, the person, the spirit gets inside you. Because you're hating the image of God. Remember the man that just caught me a little while ago, and I said, don't worship statues of Jesus?
Yes.
You get infected by that, spiritually infected by that, making you think you're better when you're worse. And you become addicted to it, to be comforted by the stone statue of Jesus or anything else. But now we got the shape. Now we got a human being that's alive in that skin, that surface. It wants you to hate the image of God, so it can get inside you. And that's what it does. If you can see this, then you won't hate the person. In other words, you foil the demon, and you might awaken the person to reality, and yourself be the better for it.
Yes.
You like that?
Yes, sir. I mean, I understand. I've talked to you a couple weeks ago. I have psychosis, psychotic breakthrough once in a while for reality. And not very often, very once in a while. I don't do anything mean, but I get these really bizarre stories that aren't.
You need to dump all that stuff you're talking about.
Okay.
These things are not important. These are the things that you just distract you from going straight and being simple and enjoying the beauty of what's God's creation and feeling the energy, and you breathe the air and you appreciate the air and look at the flowers and the trees and just wonder, look at the sky. I don't know what to tell you how I do it. I can sit in my chair in the evening and just the whole universe is there. And I'm writing physics, of course, and I'm discovering some magical things. But I want you to be magical. Because if you can understand what I'm saying, it's because you have the magic of it to recognize it. The magic of God enables you to hear where I'm coming from and accept it. But not because of the man, because of what's coming through this man towards you, and just reminding you what you've forgotten. Because the only thing that's happened to you is you've forgotten who you were as that little boy. Jesus said it this way: unless you become as a little child, unless you return to become as a little child, which means you're going forward, not backward.
Yes.
As you become, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You have the innocence within you waiting. I'm innocent. I have innocence in me. I've got my innocence back, so to speak. It wasn't long gone in a few mistakes I made in life, which are necessary for my appreciation of the salvation from it. And it didn't take much to make me appreciate it. It's called marriage. That's the place where a man is tried.
I understand that.
You see that? And that's the place you need to triumph. She doesn't want to. Don't let her get your goat, ever.
I need to come with you for a weekend sometime to speak to you at length. I really need to do this. I feel like I really need to. My intuition's telling me to do this.
Well, I have a program tonight. You should go to what you enjoy very much. I'm going to recommend something to everybody listening. What's the date? Is it the 11th of December? Is it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, 11th. So just one more day, the Sunday morning conversation video is still playing. I recommend, instead of a movie on television, get my program. It's 2 hours. You'll see an exorcism there. You're going to have a very interesting impact on you. It's video in color. FHU.com/donate. Well, you know, I let other people do the commercials, but this is Christmas, and we need your support. And we haven't done as well as we should this year. And all the more reason why you, if you haven't supported the program and you got benefit, why would you hold it back? I mean, even if it's only a dollar a month, even if it's the widow's mite, it's something. I'm not asking you for all you have. I just wanted for you to consider, you know, if you smoke, for example, or drink, or drug, or anything, or you get better from cancer, which is even more beneficial, you know, and life-saving, and money-saving, and life-saving. If it's any one of those things, and somehow you trace it to listening to me, and the me, and the God in me, awakens you to the God in you so that you don't even need me anymore, which is why I don't have huge crowds and big circuses of people. I'm like a dad. I want to free you from me. Come up and see me sometimes. See? Support my program so other brothers and sisters can get that kind of freedom I gave you. And the fact that I'm on the air right now is because other people are gracious, very gracious, and keep me on the air, but not enough. Percentage-wise, it's 1 in 10,000. I've helped millions of people, not thousands. In 55 years, millions. But many fall back because they forgot grace. There's certain obligation you should know about. I shouldn't have to tell you. That's what's so troubling about this. So that's why I don't like to ask for money. Because I shouldn't have to. Don't you see? I shouldn't have to. If you don't pay your light bill, your light goes out. And I think, you know, you do have a light bill. And that's to save another person's life without you having to get some feeling important about it. An apple tree gives apple trees. If it doesn't give apples, it's not an apple tree. It's a useless tree. I think loving is giving. And I'm giving you freedom. I'm showing you where freedom is, freedom from bad to do good. Not so. Okay. Let me give you an address. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. That's P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Or go to FHU.com. FHU.com/donate. That's all. It all works. Thank you. Okay, I have another caller coming in. 866-8883, would you like to call? We're having some nice callers this evening. And it does my heart good. And see how sweet it is? I'm not so tough after all, am I?
Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, good evening. Kathy in Illinois, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Hello, hi. Kathy.
Hi, Roy. I've been listening to you. I'm going to send you a donation.
That's sweet. Thank you.
Right now, I'm in this nursing home, but as soon as I get out...
Oh, you've called before.
Yeah, but I want to send you something, Roy, because I believe in what you're doing and what you're saying about the fear and the anger.
I could hear you. I could hear you getting me last time you called.
Yeah.
It's waking you up. It's waking you up so you can get out of that institution.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming.
I want to send you at least $25.
Oh, that's sweet. You don't need to do that. Why don't you wait to get out and have a nice job?
Well, I'm working with this. My sister said, hey, I was called my sister and talked to her. She says, are you taking your medication? But the medication is making me worse. I told you that.
No,
before,
listen, the medication will not make you worse. It will just disappear from your system, and it won't hurt you or help you. See,
right.
what will help you, because you can't refuse it. See, they'll hold you down and give it to you anyway. So
right.
This is your talk.
I want to get reconnected to God.
But I tell you that the drug will not separate you from God. It's God is stronger than the drug. Don't you get it?
Okay.
Don't worry about it. It's your journey. This is your journey. This is your story. The drug won't hurt you. But your attitude will start. Because you see, when you get angry at the nurses giving you this prescription, the anger is only going to make you worse to need more prescription.
Right.
It's not the cure. It's not the cure, but what the real cure is that you do endure it, because you need that. That's one of the things you need to endure, suffering, by being tormented with drugs.
Suffering.
Yes, but that won't stop you from finding God.
Right.
And you'll get better and better, and they will think that the drug made you better, and you make them very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Which won't be the truth. But it'd be your secret.
Right.
You let you have a little wink.
Right.
Gotcha. Got it?
Got it.
You're not going to drag me out of existence, you see, because your God understands you and you can withstand more than that. People get tortured and God knows what and come out to be much better human beings.
Okay, Roy.
You'll be fine.
Thank you. Stay with me and let me know when they let you out. Well, I'm working with this agency. They're supposed to find you an apartment.
That is very nice. You stay the course. Calm does it.
Calm does it.
Faith comes through calm.
Okay.
Okay. Be good. Bye, Kathy. That's a lady that's called several times from an institution. She's been there for, I think, 5 years. And she sees she's getting better. She's listening. It took a little while, only just 5 or 6 minutes on the telephone, half a dozen times she calls. She's getting better. Are you getting better? All right. So we've got 20 minutes left. So I started to talk to you about what I was going to do the evening, but then callers came in. And so swerve my attention to, accordingly and properly so, to the questions, which is my duty to answer, which I love doing. And when I don't have the audience, is people calling me, then I have to pontificate and make it meaningful. And I open the program tonight and perhaps be carried over on Monday, because this is Friday. And you can hear this program over and over again if you want to, through the weekend. But I do recommend, by the way, on the 11th of December, 2015, which is the day this program is playing, that I highly recommend that you go to my website, and instead of putting a movie on, my Sunday morning conversations are not conversations. They're therapy. There you will see what you've never seen before. Real exorcisms. And it may be a little spooky, but the way I do it is not. The way you watch it with great interest. And I make it very clear that what is in that person who's going through those screaming fits is also in you. And that's why You're frightened, but you're not frightened in the sense of fear. It's the thing inside you is afraid of me and afraid of you watching, because you may learn something about yourself and become free. 800-866-8883. 800-866. Anybody else want to call me before I retire for the evening? You do know I never want to fool anybody. But the third hour is a recording of some years ago. Now, you would know the difference. People don't call much anyway, but we try to find the ones, nice juicy ones with lots of calls, because as you go back in time to my, say, 50th year, I've been on the air more than 50 years, 55 years to be exact. In those days, people were so much easier to reach. They weren't loaded down. Dumbed down with drugs and alcohol as much. There was always that. But most people had anxieties and they didn't have much overweight. You could see, if your old movies, you could see people they weren't nicely dressed. They didn't expensive dress, but the older clothes, they were just beautiful people, much more beautiful than Americans are today, I'm sorry to say. The more you have, the more rotten you become, and the more you think more of yourself, because you think there's more. And so you're not more because you have more. That's the worst thing. That will kill you. You just become dependent on more to feel better, more to be more good, to say it in a crude way. So what I was trying to intend to get away, because there's so much to say about this. I said that in the beginning of this program 2 hours ago, almost 2 hours ago, I said, why would I teach you to manipulate other people's minds? See, because Pavlov and other scientists who apparently invented brainwashing, but brainwashing has been, you know, is thousands and thousands of years old. That's why you have all these different groups, colors, and religions and politics, and each one you defend to your death. In each tyrant, there's a tyrant fighting another tyrant, so on and so forth. And each one is owes his life to the tyrant. See, it is what people will kill each other. America, you got the same thing going on in America. You could have civil war because of the programming in the inner cities. That's right, programming in the cities, and it's called welfare, but they've been programmed to appease the bully in the pulpit. And he pretends to love you and be kind to you. So he steals our money and gives it to people in the inner cities. And they don't have the freedom to... They don't have the freedom. They find themselves in the same situation, but as it was in the South. The inner cities always have the city fathers are all Democrats. And you're drawn back to the scene of the crime, but not in the old way where you're a slave in the fields. But now you're a slave in the inner cities. You're somehow drawn to that which has corrupted you. See, we're always drawn back to what corrupts you. So when you get married, same thing happens. If your mother has feminized you, so that you go along with her, and both of you hate your father. You take the identity of your mother to varying degrees, to where you nearly want to have an operation and turn into a woman, or to the degree that you try to be a bodybuilder to prove that you're a man, but you're not. And that's why you're fighting the effect of your mother on. You see that? I don't know where why I'm getting into this, but it's what it is. And so the tendency then, you can't get away from your mother. Even if your brother stayed with your mother and he was codependent and you were the one that ran away, and you're still a nice guy, and you make up your mind you want to be a good husband, but you don't know what good is, and then you begin to find a woman that seems to love you because you seem like a nice man, but you're not as nice as you think, you're just weak for women. And she begins to see that, and she begins to hate you because she wants a man and doesn't want to mother you, because that's what you will realize when you're having sex. You're really having sex with your mother. That's an awkward thing. A woman feels that. You know that a woman feels that you're having sex, and she hates you for that. It's uncomfortable. It's dirty. But she doesn't tell you that in the beginning, but she starts to be angry and difficult. And you seem to be, but she doesn't know how not to. She's a good, the good woman wants to try to make it right. So she wants to give you sex. But the more sex she gives, the more you want. And the more you need her to mother you with that sex. You make you feel better with that sex that the mother used to do. If you're codependent, you've got to get the feeling from your mother, the approval of your mother. But you've got the approval, you've got more approval, you've got a sense of overwhelming pleasure, which is addicting. And so what you've done is married your mother. And I could say these things so many different ways. You can't get away from you cannot get away from what has done you in. Don't you see that? I'm just giving you an example that you cannot get away from the hypnotic state or the hypnoidal state. It's called sin. And all who sin are slaves. And what made you sin? Your mother caused you to sin. Your mother rose to the occasion of your father and gave him sex and hated him for it and made him a bully or an appeaser for that sex. And then there's the fight and the argument, and you see your mother as the weak person or the strong one, and the father as nothing. Mother gets you. Mother is everywhere in this country. Well, don't you think I should wait till Monday to finish what I wanted to do today? I spent 2 hours, and I have a few notes that I want to share with you. And I opened the program. I can't do much now because we're almost finished in the next 10 minutes. But this is what I said in the opening of the program, the first hour. The principles and techniques of brainwashing, the scientific aspect of it, comes by the observation of Pavlov and the psychiatrists that surrounded him. How the Russians, you know, are drunken and beat their wives and demoralized the children, and they saw the illnesses and diseases and the way that they saw they got hold of you know, the principle of Paradise Lost is generational. Through one man's sin and death through sin spreads to the human race, bang. And so you'll find very few places in the world like America. Maybe England, but mostly sissies, you know, after the First World War, Second World War. But America is I have another call, do I? All right, well, I'll take this call and not make my point. On Monday, I'll make my points, okay. Dale, hello, Missouri. Yeah. Hello, my friend.
Hi. I talked to you several weeks back, but I just kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit again. You know, my dad had passed away, and I was really close to him. And
so I was to my dad?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
My father died when he was 42 and I was 12.
Yeah.
And you know what a pain that was, don't you?
Yes.
If I go to, I'm almost 88. If I go visit him, he's buried in England. So I haven't been back there for a long time. But I remember going back there maybe 20 years ago, and I couldn't hold back the tears.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing pretty good, but yet, well, I still live in the same house he lived in. I took care of him for several years here. And
he's a good man. Was he a good man? Well, hold a second. I'll talk to him in a minute.
Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
So, Dale, when did your father die? I'm sorry, I didn't know.
It was September the 13th of this year.
So it's still fresh.
Yeah, he was 94. I'm 54. And, well, we've been close all my life. I mean, I've been around him. I helped him in his business when he was in business, and I've took care of him the past 8 or 9 years because he was, well, you know, he's just getting older. I didn't want to put him in nursing home because I didn't want to do that to my dad.
No, of course not.
And he was always a kind of a free spirit. I mean, he was always in business, and he'd done kind of what he wanted.
But he was a good dad, right?
I think he was.
Yeah, no. You know he was.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me share something with you. And you can break in if you want to. I'll just hold back if you got something more to say. I just got something I want to say to you.
Okay.
So you go ahead, and if you have, you know, when you finished, I'll talk.
Well, I mean, I've been doing pretty good. I've started working again, and but I find it kind of hard.
Are you married?
No, not married.
Never been married?
Never been married.
You're smart cookie.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you're afraid of women?
I don't think so. I'm just smart around them. I mean, I've listened to you for so many years.
I should be listening to myself.
You told me one time maybe I was one of the lucky ones. And I just see the games that go on and everything. And
it's the game you have to play. You have to learn to overcome the player. And she's the female, and she's difficult.
Well, when I was young, you know, I'm like everybody else. I thought I had to have a girl, but now that I'm getting older, I don't see, I guess, any point in it. I mean, I'm kind of happy just myself, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah, as I get older, you know, I try to free my wife from me. Because, you see, in the beginning, the woman is bonded to the man, but what really happens is that he's bonded to her. That's where the problem is. If she was bonded to him if he were a nobleman, she would never have a problem in marriage you couldn't solve.
Uh-huh.
See? Where it comes in is you're too strong or too weak.
Stress itself really isn't the problem. It's the way we react to it.
Oh,
learn
you,
how to
David.
Deal with stress properly. And all of your other problems will begin to fade away.
Roy, thank you for all the truth you said.
What happened?
Okay, we're still on in.
Yes, we are. Okay. Listen, I've only got a few minutes left. And we can chat on Monday, maybe, if you want to. If you're not finished with me, I'll go to the end of, you know, just 1 minute to 8.
Well, just one thing I wanted to ask real quick. Do you think maybe a change of residence? Maybe
no, I don't.
Stay right where I'm
no,
at.
No, I don't think you should consider that. It's just a house.
Right.
That's it. And you have to get rid of the flavor of it, you see.
Uh-huh.
And so, because it's not your father. The house is not your father. It's your father that passed away.
Right.
And that association thing has got to go away, too. In other words, you're not free. You're not free. You're too close to him. And
yeah.
I tell you what. I love my dad. When he passed away, what happened very quickly is, although I didn't see him often because it was the Depression and he couldn't get a job, and he could speak 11 languages and fix anything, watches, cars, anything, is brilliant. But there was no jobs. Luck's going to happen here in America pretty soon.
Yeah.
And then came the war, just, you know, and soon came the war. It wasn't the war. But he died in, just in the beginning of the war, that's right. And so, I wasn't addicted to my father. See, my brother wasn't so fortunate, because I loved my dad, and my brother was more affected by my mother. And so he took on the female quality, judgment and all kinds of things like that. And I took on my dad's spirit, and that spirit was quite remarkable, because I realized one day, I was walking down the street, and I haven't got time to tell you the whole story, but I realized all of a sudden, you know, because I didn't want to believe that he had died. And so I could walk up behind people who walk like him and hoping it be him, so silly that was. And all of a sudden something says to me, your father is not dead. I was in him. It's you loved him. You love me through him. Basically, that's what it said to me. I can't put it into words better than that. It didn't come across as words. It came across as a knowing. I have to put it into words. You know what I mean?
So
when I recognized that, I was free. My father freed me. In other words, he freed me from the body of my father. And by experiencing what he worshipped. Because about the only thing I asked him about religion was, he says, what's the meaning of life, Dad? He says, you have to find it yourself. That's all he ever told me about anything. And that was perfect. And so therefore I was free. And I was free when he was there, because he put a bubble over, a canopy over the house, that I didn't notice it until he was gone. And all of a sudden the world came back, and now here I'm alone. But I wasn't alone, because my love of the physical father I could see became the love of what was good about him. See that? And that's, I think you need to look at it that way and say goodbye to Dad. And hello to God. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Dale, are you still there?
Yeah.
I gotta say goodnight to you.
Okay.
Call me Monday, huh? You wanna? Merry Christmas, everybody. And, you know, I just want you to go to my website. I have a gift that gives off, keeps on giving. Go to my website, fhu.com/donate. But you don't have to donate. Forget that. If you're a person that does it and you're the first time, don't bother about donate. If you're hearing me for the first time, go. Or second. And go to fhu.com and download the app. The app is fixed now. It was broken before. Get the app for 7-minute meditation. And you, fhu.com. FHU.com. That's it. That's where you go. FHU.com.